Yeah, Chicago Robertson Bernstein, thank you so much for your beautiful Torah. And I'm just going to wrap up and say thank you and share one final thought sort of to wrap up our learning, although I think last week was a nice wrap-up. You are more than welcome to say goodnight. It's already very late in New York, although thank God some of our chivalry are in New York as well. But you're welcome to go to sleep, not to worry. All right, have a wonderful night. And this is just a final thought. If anyone needs to go, I'm happy just to talk to myself. That it wouldn't be the first time. And I'm reminded of a story that I heard about the Ramban. And it's possible it's about the Ramban, but I'm pretty sure that it's about the Ramban. Nachmanides, based on the fact that he has a Sefer Vikuach, that he had to debate philosophers and Christians. He was the big debating man of the Maimonides-Nachmanides duo. And the story about the Ramban is that the philosophers were trying to convince the Ramban. They were trying to suggest that people aren't so impressive. People are really, they're just sort of trained to do what they're supposed to do. But there's no one who's, you know, genuinely perfect. There's no one who's genuinely acting the way they're acting refined. Being refined, having manners, doing the right thing is only just sort of a matter of habit. And they wanted to prove it so much that they took on a challenge. And the challenge was that the philosophers were going to take a number of months, 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, and they were going to train a cat to act like a human being. And everyone said it was crazy. The Ramban said that he doesn't believe it. It's not possible. Human beings have values. They have morals. They have an internal guide of what they're supposed to do. And cats don't. Cats might be able to be trained, but it's not real. It's not legitimate. Sure enough, after 6, 7, 8 months, everyone's all excited. They fill up a stadium, and the philosophers did it. They trained a cat to act like a human being. And so everyone's piling in, and the tickets are sold out, and the philosophers are all lined up there, and the Ramban has a seat right in the front row. They're all excited for him. They've all got big smiles and grins on their faces because they're so excited. They proved the Ramban wrong. Sure enough, the curtain goes up, and you see two gentlemen sitting at a table. Nothing on the table. They're just sitting there. And the whole crowd's wondering. I thought this was a show about a cat. But the two gentlemen tap a little bell, and out comes a cat. Not on all fours, but on hind legs, walking in a tuxedo. And the cat is walking, and in his light, beautiful waiter tuxedo, he gestures at the two gentlemen, goes back in, and takes out a bottle of wine, and pours wine for each one of the gentlemen. He sets a table for them, and he starts to bring out food, and he's motioning, he's gesturing, he's communicating with them, seemingly. And everyone in the crowd is blown away. The philosophers did it. They trained a cat to act like a human being. The Ramban must be wrong. And at this point, you know, the soup has been given out, and now they're having a nice big bowl, I presume of spaghetti. It works best for the story. They've got these beautiful spaghetti meatballs, tomato sauce, everything. And the gentlemen are eating as the cat is waiting on them, like just like a real human being. And they all look down the row at the Ramban. And the way I envision it, the Ramban's got like a little boyish smile on his face. He reaches into his pocket, and he takes out a mouse. And he walks over to the stage and lets the mouse go, spraddling onto the stage. And the mouse is scurrying around, and it runs through the legs of the cat. And in that moment, while the cat is holding a tray of food, he sees the mouse. And mayhem breaks out. The tray goes up in the air. The cat is now on all fours. The tuxedo has been destroyed. He's running all over trying to catch the mouse. There's food everywhere. The gentlemen are all over are on the floor because the cat is knocking everything over. And in moments, the 6, 7, 8 months of training that the philosophers went through to train the cat to act like a human being, it's all gone. It's all for naught. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, in Perek Gimel Yud Zayin, quotes from Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Imein Torah ein derech eretz. And you could argue that that's talking about you need to have money and you need to have Torah, you need to have sort of have a profession and you need to learn Torah, you need to be what we call, you know, a learner earner. But on a simplistic level, we can also understand that Mishnah to mean that if you don't have Torah and you don't have derech eretz, you don't have derech eretz, that you don't have Torah. Now we know that midos are so important, and that in order to embody the Torah, you have to work on your midos. That's Sefiras Omer. That's leading up to Matan Torah. You have to develop yourself. If you don't have Derech Eretz, you cannot really receive the Torah. But in Torah, in Derech Eretz, if I don't have Torah, I don't have Derech Eretz. We know lots of people who are perfectly nice. We know lots of people who have beautiful manners and morals. Why in Torah ain't Derek Eretz. Why are proper manners, why is being a good person dependent upon Torah? But this story with Ramban accentuates that at some point in time, you could be the best person, you could be the nicest person, but a mouse will come along. Everyone's got some mouse. And that mouse is going to set you off. That mouse is going to distract you. That mouse is going to make you act like the person that you don't want to be. As Robertson Bernstein put it so beautifully, what we've been doing for the past 6 months, what we've been doing through 28 chapters of the Orchos Tzadikim, is that we've been trying to avoid a mouse. We've been trying to beat that mouse. Because we, yes, maybe, so many people in the world are just dressed up cats. So many people are just doing nice things, doing right things, acting morally because nothing's getting in their way. But what we've been working on through the learning of the Torah, through learning of the Orchos Tzadikim, by thinking about it, developing it, and trying to figure out how it applies to ourselves, what we're doing is that we are trying to ensure that when that mouse comes along, I'm not going to be distracted. I'm not going to get pulled away. I'm not going to go from two legs down to four. Because I've embodied the Torah. Because I have Torah and I have Derek Eretz. I have Derek Eretz and I have Torah. That Torah is constant. It's set a goal and a guide. And that's something that I not only am aware of, not only ascribe to, but something that I've spent half of a year learning about and striving toward and developing within myself. At the beginning of our learning together, we talked about wanting to become our own Rebbeim, a Selach HaRav, that we should learn what each and every Midah looks like. I don't know that I'd say we have Smicha at this point. We've learned through the Sefer, we've learned about these Midos. But I'll tell you in another Smicha context, about Moreno Rebbeinu of Herschel Schechter. Because Rav Schechter begs his Smicha students, begs his Musmachim, the guys who have just graduated from YU Smicha. He says, he begs them to ask Shilas, to ask questions. Yes, you've got a cloth that says that you're a Tabakaka Muflag, that you know your all of your Adeya and Malicha and Shchita, he knows everything. But call Rav Schechter. Ask Shilas. We've learned a lot. We've learned a lot about Midos. We know more about Midos than a lot of people we interact with. And Baruch Hashem, it's something that we've ingrained and that's going to keep us strong. It's going to keep us on the path that we want to be on. But Shilas are always going to come up. And just like we ask Shilas about Hilchos Shabbos and Hilchos Kashrus and whether we should be staying up all night, we also can ask Shilas about Midos. And you can ask me Shilas. I certainly ask plenty of Shilas. We can ask Rebbetzin Bernstein. We can ask Mrs. Emma Katz. There are so many people we can turn to ask Shilas, not just about Halacha, but about our Midos. If our learning together has meant anything, I hope that it's developed that sensitivity, that awareness that Midos don't come naturally. Midos aren't just something that people have. Midos are something that we develop. And if we want to develop, we want to become that pristine individual, that Asher B'chal Espar, that person that shines. And because of us, because of the way that we've acted, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is glorified. People are impressed with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they want to learn, and they want to daven, and they want to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because they interact with us. If we want to embody that, we have to ask Shilas, we have to ask questions. And so in Mitzvah Hashem, our learning is not over. This has really only begun. And we say it's a siyum, but in another world, another context, around this time of year, which we might call it a commencement. It's the first step of many steps going forward of lives of Avodas Hashem, lives of Avodas Hamidos. And God willing, not just the first time we're going to finish Sefer Hamidos, we'll finish many, many times. Sefer Hamidos, Orchos Tzadikim, same thing. And it's been a pleasure learning together. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening. And have a wonderful Sukkos. Have a Shavuos. Bye-bye.